then froze as the doors to the cargo bay slid open. She and Emmeline scooted hurriedly into a corner, hiding themselves as best they could behind some crates.
"Someone will catch us," said a giggling Corrin, who was allowing another to pull them deep into the hold.
"No one's going to see."
The other Corrin stroked the first one's facial tentacles lasciviously. "Is that one of their mating rituals?" Leia thought, trying to look anywhere but at the groping couple arranging themselves atop one of the nearby containers. "Or is that just, I don't know, this one's fetish?" She had a disturbing feeling she was about to find out.
"I suppose we may as well seize the moment,"
the first Corrin murmured. A hand with suction-tipped fingers went to the other's collar, and Leia heard snaps being pulled free.
"Who knows when we'll get another chance to..." "Ah!"
Leia winced as the Corrin scrambled backward, staring at the two huddled stowaways they'd just glimpsed in the corner. She could only gape at them, even more horrified to have been discovered than they must be. Emmeline folded her hands over her heart.
"I'm so happy you two have found each other."
Less happy to have been found was the person in charge at Okahont, who on that particular day turned out to be Mon Mothma. As she and Emmeline were hustled into the outpost's headquarters, Leia caught sight of the familiar red hair and white robe and breathed a sigh of relief.
"Senator, I'm so glad to see you."
"The feeling isn't mutual."
Mon Mothma raised one eyebrow.
"You brought a friend?"
"I stowed away,"
Emmeline said cheerfully.
"Technically, we both did, but it was my idea. So don't blame Leia."
Mon Mothma raised her hands as if to say, "I need time to find the words." With a glance, she dismissed the two Quarrens, who'd considered Leia and Emmeline their prisoners, and didn't look too thrilled about having them treated as guests instead. Leia figured they'd get over it as soon as they got another chance to be alone. The outpost on Okahont had apparently been built longer ago than the makeshift shelters on Crait. Although the crew of the cargo vessel had made sure she couldn't get a good look at the total layout of the place, the differences revealed themselves. Substantial data centers ringed the room in which Mon Mothma stood, including a circular map display at the very center. The sheer length of the hallways she and Emmeline had been hustled through suggested a large compound, and any place that needed enormous cargo shipment of Quadanium. Well, however big this outpost was, it would soon be even bigger. Mon Mothma leaned against the map display for a few long seconds before saying,
"Princess, you know that I've supported your playing a larger role in our endeavors. But this is going too far."
"This was an accident, and a lucky one," Leia insisted. "What do you know about Winmi Lenz's dealings with the Empire?"
There was every chance that Mon Mothma would say she knew all about it. It had occurred to Leia that Lenz might be setting up some sort of elaborate operation to sabotage Imperial works, maybe. When she saw the frown lines appear between the older woman's eyebrows, though, she knew better.
"What do you mean, Leia?"
"Of course Lenz arranged for us to receive this Quadanium."
"He traded even more to the Empire," Leia said. "We saw him conclude the deal with our own eyes. I didn't recognize the official, but he certainly had a high rank. And Lenz called him director."
Emmeline chimed in then.
"The guy wore a white jacket. That's how bad."
Mon Mothma took a step backward. For most people, it would have been a very small reaction. But from the calm, collected Mon Mothma, it might as well have been a scream.
"Force around us. How did you discover this?"
"Our paths crossed on Pimarth. Maybe it was a lucky accident.
Maybe it was the Force at work."
Although Leia believed in the Force, she rarely thought it directly guided actions. On this day, though, she was willing to consider the possibility.
"Regardless, Lenz has connections high up in the Empire he hasn't revealed to the rest of you. And that can't be good news."
"No, it can't."
Mon Mothma's long fingers tapped against the edge of the map display, as if she were working out a code.
"We can't let him know we're onto him.
We simply have to phase him out. Make him believe we're fighting among ourselves,
less certain of our plans. If he believes the Coalition is falling apart, getting nowhere, he'll let it lie. Reporting us at that point would only expose himself. Can you make him believe that? Leia had thought politics involved more lying than any other activity. Apparently rebellions put politics to shame. He's never been at the center of our plans. There are limits to what he knows. So yes, I think he can be persuaded. Mon Mothma shook her head as though to clear it. Besides, we don't have to lie about the infighting, only about our lack of resolve to overcome it. That sounded ominous, but also like something Leia should take up with her parents instead, at some other time, preferably far in the future. So, Leia began. Since this intel is highly confidential, you'll keep this whole trip a secret from my parents, right? With a gentle smile, Mon Mothma stepped toward Leia, put her hands on her shoulders and said, "Not a chance." Leia winced. From her chair, Emmeline murmured, "Ouch." "We're still working out exactly who's in charge of this great endeavor," Mon Mothma continued. "Maybe it will be me, but maybe not. All I know for certain is that your parents are in charge of their own household, of which you are still a member. That means you'll have to take this up with them." Before they'd parted ways for their separate transports home, Emmeline had tried to be encouraging. "You brought valuable intel," she insisted. "That's gotta count for something."
"Let's hope so."
It counted for nothing.
"We can't keep having this conversation, Leia."
Bail Organa paced the length of the library, his hands clasped behind his back.
"How many times do we have to beg you to let us handle this? To go enjoy your youth instead of rushing headlong into this?"
"I told you, I wasn't investigating Wimney Lenz. I just happened to find out what he was up to. After that, I had to do something, didn't I?"
"Something, yes," her father said. "Stowing away on a cargo vessel, no."
"I was going after Emmeline," Leia insisted. "And don't give me that whole, if all your friends were jumping out windows on Coruscant, would you do it? Because this is different."
"She's right." Bria spoke with unexpected calmness. Her sorrowful dark eyes met her husband's. Leia responded to the situation she was confronted with as best she could. "We can't ask for more than that."
"We can ask for her to stay out of harm's way, and if she won't, we can keep her out of it."
Bail stopped pacing and pointed downward, at the seldom-used lower areas of the palace.
"There used to be dungeons down there, you know."
This time her mother's voice was sharp.
"Bail!"
He held up one hand.
"You know I wasn't serious. Don't even joke about that."
Bria rose from her seat, the wide skirts of her green dress rustling around her. The constellation globes overhead caught the last rays of sunset light, which turned their stars red and gold.
"There's no hiding from what's coming. Not for anyone in this galaxy. We were fools to think we could ever hide our daughter from it and keep her safe. Safety was the first sacrifice we made when we decided to oppose Palpatine. It won't be the last."
"You can't mean this."
Bail took a step back from his wife. Leia had rarely seen them argue in earnest. The melodrama performed for Tarkin's benefit was the ugliest confrontation she'd ever witnessed between the two. The sick feeling in her stomach told her that might be about to change.
"Our daughter is only 16. We've told her too much already. Failed to discourage her. What would discouraging her accomplish? It would protect her a while longer."
Bail winced with a pain that must have been nearly physical.
"I would do almost anything to keep her safe for even one more day. Why won't you? Secrecy isn't keeping her safe."
Leia tried to jump in. "I've brought good information to you already. Isn't that worth something? Don't you trust me?" Her father turned to her with such pain in his eyes that she wished the words unsaid.
"I trust you with my life, but I don't trust the Empire with yours."
Bria persisted, as she always did when her mind was finally made up. "We could begin slowly, Bail, in secure conditions. When you lead the supply convoy to where we refurbish our ships in a few weeks, take her with you. We have more defenses there than anywhere else. She can look at what we've accomplished and start to understand.
Leia had already seen the nascent fleet at Palkris Major. But this wasn't the time to bring that up, if, in fact, that time existed. She bit her lower lip and tried to look innocent. Her father wasn't even paying attention.
I won't have this. I won't treat our daughter as a skifter in a sabacc deck. If you would, I'm not sure I've ever even known you.
Bria closed her eyes, and Bail breathed out sharply, as though he were the one who had been spoken to so hurtfully. Then he stalked out of the library, leaving mother and daughter alone. By now, Leia felt so wretched she could hardly look at her mother's pain-stricken face. She whispered, I'm so sorry I caused trouble.
You didn't. You had a lucky break that may well have saved lives. Eventually, your father will see that.
Bria opened her eyes, which were red-rimmed, but her voice remained clear.
Your father isn't himself right now. It's a hard thing, allowing your child to go to war.
Leia nodded, trying to remember the warmth and happiness between them not so long ago in this very room. The memory felt far away. The rebellion has its own three challenges, I guess.
What do you mean?
Her mother sounded more eager for distraction than interested, but that was reason enough to go on. Before it becomes what it's going to be, it has to be strong in mind, body, and heart. The challenge of the mind is getting everyone to agree. The challenge of the body is what you're doing on Crait and Okahant, making the idea of rising up something real.
And the challenge of the heart is moving forward without becoming what we have beheld.
Bria sighed.
Well seen, my daughter.
Mother and daughter sat together on one of the low couches, and Leia hugged her mom tightly, unsure whether she was taking comfort or giving it. When her mother rested her head atop Leia's, she decided maybe it could be both.
You have a role to play in the struggle to come, Leia. We'll figure out what that role should be over the next months and years. Your father will fight us for a while yet, and we have to respect his feelings enough to let him fight.
Bria's tone betrayed how difficult that would be for her, but her words to her daughter remained calm and steady.
I ask only one thing. From now on, whenever you undertake something like this, even if you fall into it by happenstance, you come to me or to Mon Mothma about it immediately. The very first moment you can tell us, whether in person or via holo, you do so. That way we can make sure what you're doing is both as safe and as helpful as it can be.
You didn't say to tell Dad?
Not yet, Bria admitted.
Never before had Leia's mother asked her to keep a secret from her father. She'd always thought that might be fun, but it wasn't.
Chapter 27. What do you do when you're a 16-year-old girl who knows her world is about to end?
Leia felt as though she walked through the next several days in a trance. The palace, as familiar to her as any place ever could be, suddenly seemed too large, too dark. Its layout complicated and knotty as the braids 2V insisted on weaving into her charge's hair every single morning. Her father had left for Coruscant late on the night of that last terrible family argument. He'd made that trip regularly throughout her life, but this time his departure carried an ominous sense of division. Her mother, always so strong, graceful, and poised, wore her wrapper and nightgown in the private areas of the palace until very nearly lunchtime. And once, when 2V tried to cluck about it, Bria even snapped at the droid. Of course she apologized in the next breath, but Leia remained shocked all the same. The trouble hasn't even started yet, she reminded herself one night at dinner, while she and Bria ate silently on the terrace, looking at Aldera instead of each other. If everything's so screwed up and strange already, what will it be like when things really get bad? Her mother's voice broke into her reverie. Aren't you supposed to return to Coruscant soon? The apprentice legislature's next session isn't for a week yet. Frowning, Bria said,
I thought I remembered something about you scheduling a transport several days back.
There's a party tomorrow night, Leia admitted. One of the formal balls they invite the Royal Academy grads to every year. The apprentice legislators usually attend too.
The first smile in days appeared on Bria's face. Weren't you planning on going with Keir Damati?
Leia shrugged. I thought I might ask him if he wouldn't rather come here instead. I could invite him to the palace, couldn't I?
She badly wanted to talk with him about some of what she'd learned. Maybe he couldn't yet know the truth about Palkris Major. But they could discuss the particulars about Winmi Lenz and his double dealing. And, more importantly, about whatever role people their age ought to play in the coming fight. That conversation was one they should have on their own planet, beneath their shared sky.
You can always invite your friends to our home, Bria said.
Which is why you should go to the ball tomorrow night on Coruscant. That will only ever happen once, while your home will always be here.
It feels wrong, Leia finally admitted, as a servitor droid rolled up with the after-dinner calf.
Going out to celebrate while out there...
She gestured at the darkening sky, through which a few brighter stars had begun to twinkle.
Out there is exactly why you should go to the ball.
Leaning across the table, Bria took her daughter's hand in hers.
We won't always be free to travel wherever we will. We won't always be able to take the time to attend elaborate parties. We won't always have the chance to dance with the ones we love.
The quaver in her voice made Leia's chest ache as she finished.
So dance now.
Leia hadn't realized she could love her mother even more than she already did. She squeezed her mother's fingers tightly, and for a few long seconds they simply smiled at each other in the most perfect understanding they would ever share.
It was Bria who broke the silence. And 2V will be so happy to pick out your gown.
Overjoyed. The next night, Leia walked into the Imperial Palace on Keir's arm, wearing a white and silver gown that had fulfilled all 2V's wildest dreams. Her hair had been braided into a tall coil atop her head, and jewelry sparkled at her throat. Keir wore a dark blue suit of Alderaanian make, slightly out of step with the uniformed and stylish men around them, yet to her, far more handsome. When she heard the music, she longed to sweep Keir onto the dance floor. No. She longed to long for that, to fulfill her mother's command to dance while she could. Instead, the tumult inside her seemed to have intensified. Every time she looked at one of her friends, or at Keir, or at the happy throng celebrating with no idea what was to come, a pang pierced her heart. The emotion that ached within her wasn't fear. Instead, she felt the intense sadness that came from recognizing the beauty of her reality, while newly, sharply aware of how fragile it was. How quickly it would all vanish. Will everyone be so carefree 10 years from now? 5 years? 5 months? Leia couldn't yet tell how fast it was slipping away, but the stability of the existence she'd known was already beginning to give. As dedicated as she was to fighting Palpatine, as willing as she was to pay whatever price that fight would demand, she still found it hard to accept the fragility of everything and everyone she loved.
Are you all right?
Keir squeezed her hand, pressure that sent a small thrill through her, despite everything.
You seem far from here.
She blinked hard, forcing herself back into the moment.
I guess I am.
Could you get me a glass of the glow wine? That should help. Glow wine wasn't intoxicating, exactly, but it sparked a rush of endorphins that could turn the dull into the delightful. Younger people on Coruscant and many other worlds drank it regularly. Even some adults preferred it to true wine. Keir's lips brushed her cheek.
As you command, Your Highness.
The way he said it, low and soft, did as much to distract her as the glow wine ever could. She let go of his arm with some reluctance, already missing his warmth by her side. Someone else found her almost immediately.
Were you in awful trouble?
Emmeline Holdo asked in the monotone Leia no longer thought of as being so odd.
At least you could tell your parents what you were really doing. I had to pretend I honestly thought stowing away on a cargo vessel would be fun.
Did they believe you? Beaming, Emmeline nodded.
They know how I get about my enthusiasms.
Leia imagined what toddler Emmeline must have been like, and couldn't suppress a smile. No doubt.
Your dress is beautiful.
Holding out her arms in a pose, Emmeline said,
What do you think?
It took most of Leia's royal training to keep that smile on her face. Emmeline wore possibly the most Emmeline thing ever. A flowing caftan of a dress in a swirling, multicolored pattern that reminded Leia of the storms on gas giants. Tiny bells jingled at the ends of the wide bell sleeves, and metallic, sparkly fringe trimmed the hem and the high neck. Emmeline had even managed to dye her hair the same combination of colors as the dress, which made her look like a psychedelic blur, broken only by her smiling face. Leia ventured,
It's very bright. Very original and daring. Leia!
Emmeline's face took on an unaccustomed seriousness.
On Gedalenta, we honor kindness and courtesy. But we also honor honesty.
True courtesy meant treating people the way they wished to be treated.
Well, then, I think the dress is too busy. I can see why you like it, but for this gathering, it's a bit much. I knew it.
When Emmeline slumped, she appeared even ganglier than usual, like a marionette when the puppeteer let go of the strings.
On Gedalenta, you get tired of everyone wearing the same scarlet cloaks, and everybody's clothing is pale gray or white, and it's supposed to be soothing and tranquil. I guess it is. But that's just not who I am.
You're expressing your individuality, Leia said. And as she spoke, she found that somehow she'd gotten to like most of Emmeline's bizarre clothing. Maybe it was garish and strange, but the brilliant colors and constant variety reflected something of the person within.
Exactly.
Emmeline picked forlornly at the fringe trim of her sleeve.
I want to be the precise opposite of Gedalenta.
Leia shook her head. Don't do that. If you're only trying to be the opposite of a thing, you're still letting that thing define you.
I never thought of it that way.
The insight was new to Leia, too, but she recognized the truth in it. Dress how you really want to dress. Be who you want to be. Not whatever they are on Gedalenta or whatever they aren't. She brightened as Kier wove his way through the crowd back to them. He must have seen Emmeline standing by Leia's side, because he returned with three glasses of glow wine and, somewhat clumsily, managed to give Emmeline the first one.
Good to see you.
You too, Kier.
Emmeline promptly gulped the glow wine down with abandon. Maybe this was what happened when someone from Gedalenta let loose. Now he could present Leia with her glass properly and clink his rim against hers. But then he took as deep a draught as Emmeline had. When Leia raised her eyebrows questioningly, he grinned.
The sooner we finish this, the sooner we can dance.
When you put it that way. She lifted the glow wine to her lips and went for it. Within minutes, her worries had vanished, as if the tension within her had been a balloon swelling tighter until it popped with a spray of glitter. Leia's courtly training meant she could swirl around the dance floor without even thinking, her feet and arms naturally finding the steps. The other dancers moved around them with fluid grace, everyone finding the patterns as if they were shards of color in a kaleidoscope being turned on the beat. Kier danced with nearly as much ease as she did. Twirling beneath his arm, she said,
You're good at this!
I am now!
His hands found her waist at that exact moment, and she helped him lift and spin her, a dizzying whirl that exhilarated her.
After I spent most of the past month practicing with a beady droid.
Leia laughed so loudly that a few heads turned around them.
You didn't!
It was awful, Kier confessed. Nothing like this.
The song drew to a close, and they finished the dance perfectly, with him pulling her to his side, arm around her waist. They'd been this close before, many times. But tonight everything felt sharper, realer, more urgent.
Dance now.
Probably this wasn't exactly what her mother had meant, but
Let's get out of here, Leia said. A slow smile spread across Kier's face, even as he said,
Aren't we supposed to stay?
They were. They ought to be dancing with the other apprentice legislators, and with the graduating academy cadets. But to hell with ought to. Leia pulled Kier closer and whispered, I don't care. They ran out of the gathering together, second glasses of glow wine in their hands, into the dazzling lights of Coruscant at night. At first they dashed across the suspended walkways, happy to dodge the passers-by around them, to feel as if they were racing on thin air. Even the hollow projections of the Imperial symbol on huge screens all around them couldn't dull Leia's giddiness. When they found a hover-sled rental place, Kier steered them directly to it. Once he'd given the Rodian proprietor some credits and taken the scan that proved they'd imbibed nothing stronger than glow wine, they were off, zooming through the air, wind rushing around them. Leia kept their course simple, partly to be safe, but also because it let her attention wander to the warmth of Kier's arms wrapped around her as he embraced her from behind.
Hey!
He called, pointing toward the senatorial complex.
Let's head up there!
Atop the complex, an elaborate garden had been planted for the enjoyment of senior members of the government. On Coruscant, the rich greenness of leaves was the ultimate luxury. On most nights, a number of people could be found there relaxing with family and friends. Tonight, however, the Senate was in late session, and the other apprentice legislators remained at the ball. So Leia was able to land in the very center, and they had the garden to themselves. Kier took her hand as he drew her away from the hover sled to walk on the soft ground. The below-me palm fronds swayed in the breezes, surrounding them so fully it was almost possible to believe they were on a planet's surface instead of high above it.
No place is as beautiful as Alderaan, Kier said. But this comes close.
She thought of his fierce wish to protect Alderaan against the coming conflict, the danger again intruding on her happiness.
Hey.
He brought his fingers up beneath her chin, tilting her face toward his.
Are you sure you're all right?
I am.
Really?
Kier knew her better than that.
Are you worried about your mother?
He'd been so concerned about the so-called family emergency that took her away from the challenge on Pamarth. She'd been forced to concoct a lie, which she hated. But this lie was intended to protect both Kier and her parents. So she stuck to it. Everything's okay. Her pulmonodes really only needed a small repair. It scared us, that's all. The light filtering through the palms highlighted the sharp angles of his face, the depth of his dark eyes.
Then what is it? Are you nervous about your challenges after what happened on Pamarth?
His smile warmed her through.
You'll make that ascent of Apenza. I'd be honored to climb it with you if you'd like.
The would-be heir could take a companion on the climb, and she could imagine nothing better than standing atop that mountain, declaring herself the next queen with Kier by her side. Yes, I'd like that.
But it's not what you're worried about.
Surely he deserved some small measure of the truth. How much could she parcel out and declare safe? Leia finally said, Recently I traveled somewhere that made me realize that what my parents are planning, that it's inevitable. His expression clouded.
Are they about to do something dangerous?
No, not yet. She shook her head vehemently. All of this was dangerous, but Kier was asking whether action was imminent. That, at least, Leia felt sure she could deny. I don't know how long it's going to be, though. I just don't know what's going to happen. Everything about our lives is about to change. He embraced her tightly. She rested her head against his chest, at the exact place where she could hear his heartbeat. They were so breakable, so mortal. The fight to come would overtake them, and there was nothing she could do to protect either of them.
I know it has to change, Kier whispered. The Empire can't stand. People can't live like this, and that means an uprising is inevitable. We have to prepare for it,
We need it. But what's about to happen? Don't!
She placed two of her fingers over his lips.
I shouldn't have said anything. I want to forget about it completely, just for tonight.
Leia sank down onto the soft ground, relishing the coolness of grass beneath her palms. After a moment, Kier knelt beside her. When he hesitated still longer, she started to ask him what he was thinking. But then he reached out, fingers trembling, and removed one long pin from her hair. He held it between them, a silent question as to whether he should continue. Alderaan had any number of traditions about braids, about who wore them and when and why. The customs varied from continent to continent, age to age. But always, one of the most profoundly intimate acts was to allow someone else to take the braids down. After one deep, shaky breath, Leia turned, offering him the back of her head. Kier went slowly at first, figuring out how to proceed. But he gained confidence as he went. Each pin was carefully placed in a pile off to the side, so that they could keep only the slightest sliver of space between them. Every time their eyes met, the troubling world around them fell further away. Tuvi knew her work. Leia's hair didn't begin to tumble free until the very last braids were loosened. When at last it fell heavy and dark around her shoulders, Kier buried his hands in it, and she didn't have to think or worry anymore. Just close her eyes, kiss him, and let go. Chapter 28. Apprentice legislators rarely contented themselves with the experience itself. Kier's academic interest was the exception. Most apprentices hoped for political or imperial careers, and their time with the Senate served as a mere starting point. Therefore, attracting the attention of a senior official usually meant good news. A princess of Alderaan didn't need that kind of attention. And even if she had, Leia would have been horrified to receive the summons to meet with Grand Moff Tarkin. What can he want? Kier shook his head in consternation when she showed him the screen. They sat together in her family's apartments, watching one of the famously melodramatic holovids from Shilly. It's not like we've seen him anywhere near the apprentice legislature since day one. He's been to Alderaan, though. Leia remembered that terrible dinner party, the suspense that had hung over them all like a canopy of black. Recently, I think he was trying to rattle my parents. You think he suspects something? Kier sat upright, almost as if he would leap to his feet in alarm. She remembered the sharpness of that initial fear. Why didn't you tell me? It would only move you into the bullseye along with us. She curled into a ball on the sofa, hugging her knees to her chest. Their family apartments hadn't felt as empty since she began spending more time here with Kier. But Tarkin's message had made her father's absence freshly vivid. I wish I could ask my dad about how to handle this.
Could you call him?
Not where he's gone. Leia pulled herself together. Not in time. The summons says this morning. When she rose from the sofa, smoothing the simple tunic she wore, Kier got to his feet beside her.
Do you want me to come with you?
Tarkin's not going to allow that.
I didn't mean into his office. Just to walk there with you, if it would help you stay calm.
His sweetness eased some of the tension within her. Not all of it, not even close, but enough for her to collect herself. Leia put her hands on either side of his face. What would help me is knowing you'll be here when I get back.
That I'm staying right here.
Kier kissed her goodbye so thoroughly that the warmth of it buoyed her up during the entire journey through the labyrinthine set of lifts, skyways, and corridors that brought her to Tarkin's Coruscant offices. When she got there, however, and saw the imposing Imperial seal on the doors, the chill began to creep back in. But royal training could carry her through far more than ceremonial rituals of the court. Commanding and confident? No. That's not what the Grand Moff wants to see. Demure and innocent. That's better. Leia clasped her hands in front of her, lowered her chin slightly, and walked inside. Before the protocol droid had even finished introducing her, Tarkin Tarkin had risen from his desk. Not even his polite smile could gentle his cadaverous face.
Your Highness, how good of you to come.
It took every minute of every year of her training for her not to flinch when taking his outstretched hand. His fingers could have been fleshless bones.
Thank you, Governor. I appreciate the honor, but I admit I was surprised to hear from you.
Lower your eyes. Tighten the throat as though you were sad.
After how I behaved... No, no, none of that. You were hardly responsible for that disgraceful scene.
His kindly pat on her shoulder didn't fool her. He was trying to discombobulate her under the guise of comforting her.
In fact, since that night, I've been concerned about you. I felt I should take some kind of action, were such required.
You, sir? Leia couldn't keep the incredulity out of her voice, but that was all right. He'd expected to catch her off guard, and would be pleased to have done so. He gestured toward the chair in front of his desk, and politely didn't sit until she had.
Yes. Forgive my interference, but it occurred to me that if the daughter of a queen and a viceroy had difficulties, there would be very few people to whom she could turn.
That's an extremely kind gesture.
From another sort of person altogether, it might have been.
Really, though, what happened that night... It's between my parents. I have to let them work it out in their own time.
Tarkin nodded, and though he studied her avidly, she detected no suspicion.
At least not yet.
That's a very mature attitude. Allowing your elders to act as they see best.
Eyes downcast, she said. I know this is the right way to handle it. But I admit it's hard sometimes.
Did he hope to reduce her to tears again?
If that was what it took to end this interview, Leia was prepared to sob until he had medical droids wheel her out for observation.
Undoubtedly.
To her dismay, Tarkin gestured for a servitor droid to bring them tea, as he settled into his chair like a man prepared to talk at length.
But it's that kind of self-control that will make you a fine senator and an excellent queen. Your parents have quite a reputation, Your Highness, but I dare say you'll eclipse them when the time comes.
Why is he talking about this? She kept a tiny, uncertain smile on her face as she accepted her cup of tea. Tarkin kept on while the droid poured next to him.
Although the centralized governance of the Empire is what provides our stability and our strength, planetary leaders nonetheless play a critical role. The Emperor needs to know that monarchs, presidents, prime ministers, chieftains, and senators will support his rule, and monitor activities more closely than we can hope to from Coruscant.
Cooperate with us. Do as we say, and you keep your throne. He wouldn't be having this conversation with her unless he thought she'd inherit that throne soon. Since her parents were still hardly even middle-aged, there was only one reason for Tarkin to think that. Her entire body tightened, her throat strangling her voice, her ears trying to shut out sound so she couldn't hear any more of this. Leia's heart beat wildly in her chest, and the impulse to dash out of the room was almost overwhelming. She simply sipped her tea before saying, so steadily it shocked her, "I realize how important that is to Emperor Palpatine."
"I believe you do. You're a good girl."
Tarkin smiled, obviously thinking her young and naive enough to be flattered by such condescension.
"While I commend your attitude toward allowing your parents some, distance, I want you to know that in the future, should you feel uncertain and require guidance, I shall be glad to give it."
"Be our puppet ruler, and I'll hold the strings."
"Thank you, Governor. I appreciate that," she said, and then thought, on more levels than you can ever realize.
Maybe some hint of emotion slipped out. Maybe he was simply too calculating a man not to apply one final test. She knew only that Tarkin cocked his head, studying her like a predator about to pounce, before he said, with courtly flourish,
"I see such attentions as an investment in our empire's future. Someday, I hope, we will achieve perfect rule and perfect peace from here on Coruscant,
to the farthest systems of Lothal, Paukris, Ratatak, or whatever worlds we may yet find.
Paukris. It sliced through her like a sword's blade. Tarkin certainly hadn't named that system by chance. He hoped to shake up a young girl who, so far as he knew, he'd already seen easily reduced to tears. His eyes locked with hers as he searched for the telltale slip that would betray her and doom them all. Leia didn't flinch. With the full force of her imagination, she pictured Kier sitting in front of her, imagined it was him she was smiling at, and heard the warmth in her voice as she answered, "May we someday see that perfect peace." For one seemingly eternal instant, nothing changed. And then Tarkin ever so slightly relaxed.
"Hear, hear."
She had to make chit-chat through that entire cup of tea. Had to allow him to escort her out of the office, her arm through his, and tell him goodbye. She even made sure to walk at a normal speed for the first while after she left, until she'd taken 3 lifts and 1 skyway back to the senatorial complex. But as soon as she'd entered the inner corridors, Leia broke into a run. She burst into her father's office, startling the staff.
"Please tell me Dad is here."
"I'm afraid not, Your Highness,"
said the protocol droid, with a distinct undertone of, "and you should know that."
"Senator Organa's return is still scheduled 6 days hence."
"I need to use his private office. Excuse me."
Leia rushed straight in, knowing nobody on her father's staff had the rank to prevent her, even if they'd wanted to. She pulled up the holonet and put in a call to the palace, directly to her mother. As the connection was made, she brought up Mon Mothma on audio only. Mon Mothma answered first.
"Princess Leia!"
"Yes, hold on. I'm getting my mom." Queen Bria shimmered into holographic form in the office, wearing the exercise gear no one but her family would ever see her in. Before her mother could even ask what was happening, Leia blurted out,
"The Empire knows about Paukris Major!"
Her mother blanched so visibly it was clear even via holo. Mon Mothma's voice was sharp.
"How do you know this?"
"I didn't go snooping, I swear."
"It doesn't matter if you did," Bria said.
"How do you know?" "Tarkin called me to his office. Acted like it was this friendly mentoring thing, but he was sounding me out, saying things that suggested I'd inherit the throne soon." Her mother's hand went to her own throat, a sight that seared Leia almost past endurance. "Then he was naming far-off systems like it was random, but he named Paukris. He was looking directly at me. I'm positive he did it to rattle me. There's no way that's a coincidence."
"I'm sure you're right."
Mon Mothma sounded as though she'd aged years in mere seconds.
"We have to send a messenger to warn them. We can't trust droid probes with this, and we hardly know who to trust until we've patched Winmi's leaks."
"I can't leave Alderaan," Bria said. "We're holding a medal ceremony in only a few hours."
"Nobody cares about the medal ceremony," Leia began, before her mother cut her off with a gesture.
"Of course nobody cares about that, sweetheart. But if I suddenly cancel a public event, word will travel back to the Empire. For all we know, they're already prepared to strike. We can't run the risk of tipping them off, or else they'll pounce before we can evacuate."
"I have a meeting with one of the Grand Admirals this evening,"
Mon Mothma said.
"Princess, you must go. Immediately."
As much as she'd hoped to do for this movement, as often as she'd begged to help, Leia hadn't expected to be called on for anything as urgent and serious as this. Yet she understood instantly. A senator or a queen would be missed, an apprentice legislator would not. Leia already had all the information necessary to complete her task, and their trust in her was absolute.
"I'll leave right away," Leia promised. "Is the Polestar on Coruscant?"
"It's here on Alderaan,"
her mother swore, which under other circumstances would have been shocking.
"You'll have to hire a ship. An independent freighter, the type not to ask too many questions."
That sounded intimidating, but Leia nodded. Mon Mothma added,
"As tight as time may be, you should stop somewhere along the way and change ships. We don't want anyone to be able to track your movements directly."
"Got it," Leia promised. I'll need credits. The funds necessary to hire at least two freighters went beyond even the generous stipend she had on Coruscant.
I'll personally bring you an untraceable credit solid,
Mon Mothma said.
Where are you?
Dad's office. The only goodbye that followed was the click of a voice link deactivating. Leia refocused on her mother, who had sunk into a chair, her hands woven through her loose hair. Bria said only, I'm not even going to ask how you know about Paukras. That's probably a good idea, Leia admitted. You realize that the Empire could be moving in on our base there even now. Her mother was shaking so much that it was visible even through the blur of the hollow. You realize the danger you're in? I can't let you go unless I know you understand. Completely. I understand. Yet she wasn't as afraid as she'd been in Tarkin's office. She'd come to realize that she would never be overwhelmed by fear as long as she had something to do. Leia's mind raced ahead to the journey, the message, to all the details that would carry her onward and keep her from imagining her arrest by the Empire, and the horrors that would surely follow. I'm all right, Mom. I'm ready.
Yes. I think you are.
Bria blinked fast. It hit Leia that her mother knew both her husband and her daughter were in imminent danger. And yet there was nothing she could do but perform her duty, wear her crown, and smile. It seemed unbearable. Yet she lifted her hand as though she could touch Leia's face and said,
I love you.
I love you too. Instantly the hollow went dark. Leia understood why. Extending the conversation would only have tormented her mother. It was better to focus on what had to be done. The apprentice legislature didn't have another session for a few days. She'd turned in her proposals early, as usual, so that deadline didn't matter. Harp had invited her over to watch some Holovids tomorrow, by which time Leia would either be back or in prison. Kier, she whispered. He would still be waiting for her in their family's apartments, in suspense. When she snapped open a new holo channel, he appeared in front of her almost instantly. He must have been waiting directly in front of the camera. I'm all right, she began. But I think Tarkin's onto my parents. I have to go to the Paukra system right away.
Wait, what?
Kier put his hands out as if he could dam the flood of information.
You have to go where?
It doesn't matter. Really, she shouldn't have burdened him with that information in the first place. But everything was happening so fast. Leia continued, Just cover for me if anyone asks, okay? Tell them I had to go home on short notice.
Leia, this sounds bad.
She nodded. It could be. But maybe I'll be in time. Holding her hand out, much as her mother had, she said, I'll talk with you soon. Please let that be true. Kier looked like he wanted to argue, but he also knew when arguing with her would prove useless.
Soon,
he repeated.
Promise?
Promise. With that, she shut off the hollow, leaving herself alone in unnatural stillness for a few breaths. It was almost long enough for fear to creep in. But then Mon Mothma rushed through the doors, white robe fluttering, more flustered than Leia had ever seen her before.
Credit solid, Mon Mothma said, breathless. Linked to banks so obscure even Palpatine doesn't have their information, and adequate to cover the cost of 10 ships if you need them.
Leia took the gold-striped solid and slipped it into one of the secure pouches at her belt. If 2 ships won't do it, 8 more won't help. It was gallows humor, but it helped her smile. Mon Mothma paused, still winded, obviously searching for wisdom, or at least helpful advice. Then she shook her head, put her hands on Leia's shoulders, and spoke the only words that mattered. May the Force be with you. Chapter 29 Leia had never had to hire her own ship before, but she figured it couldn't be that difficult. What she didn't realize was that she'd never tried to do much of anything without presenting herself as the Crown Princess of Alderaan, and just how much easier it was for a princess to get things done.
A freighter!
Barked a Lonoran pilot.
A little scrap of a thing like you. What are you hauling?
Leia wondered wildly whether she ought to come up with some kind of cargo to bring along. But how could she do that in time?
Just me.
The Lonoran's fur raised in consternation.
To Pamarth, you said?
Right. It was the first heavily trafficked but remote layover she'd been able to think of. But she'd chosen poorly, because the Lonoran said,
So take a passenger ship and save yourself the credits.
I need to get there as soon as possible.
Passenger ship won't take you half a day longer.
The Lonoran patted her on the head.
Now hurry along, pup.
How old does he think I am? 8? As the Lonoran loped away, Leia glanced around the busy spaceport in search of another freighter that looked small enough to be of use to her. Hiring one sounded so easy, but in practice, getting a ship to take off within a brief time span, without questions, could be a challenge. 3 pilots had turned her down so far. She'd also hurried after one YT model ship that had looked promisingly run down, and probably in need of money for repairs, but it took off before she could even reach it. Spotting another ungainly, patched-together ship across the hangar, Leia headed toward it. As she pushed through the crowd, ducking around a group of Arconas and an enormous, scowling Krolute, she tried to come up with a better cover story. I'm eloping, and my parents are after me. No, because someone would sensibly ask why she was eloping all alone. My grandmother on Pamarth is incredibly sick, and I need to get to her right away. That might do. Leia ran up to the ship, then stopped short when she saw not one but 2 people she knew standing in front of it, arguing.
Excuse me, Chasselin Stevis said. But if I don't get to the auction on Arcanus in time, someone's going to snap that speeder up. Do you know how rarely this model comes available?
Rarity is an illusion, because every person and object in the galaxy is in some way unique.
Emmeline Holdo, her hair still brilliantly colored, but her clothing a simple traveling coverall, smiled benevolently at him.
Anyway, I'm signed up for the meditation retreat at home, and it's starting tomorrow.
Chasselin's hand stiffened, as if he wanted to physically shake sense into Emmeline.
You could take a passenger ship!
For her part, Emmeline folded her long arms across her chest and dug in.
I could, if I hadn't already hired the Moa, which I have. Oh, hi, Leia.
Leia blurted out, I need this ship.
Oh, come on.
Chasselin stared skyward, perhaps asking for help from gods who didn't answer.
You're a bloody princess. You can get whatever ship you want.
But Emmeline had seen something in Leia that she recognized, maybe from their journey to Okahunt. She brought her hands together, closed her eyes, and said,
All right.
Chasselin's eyes widened with anger. Leia didn't entirely blame him. But then he, too, seemed to glimpse the genuine fear and need she felt. He took a deep breath, adjusted the collar of his violet jacket, and spoke with better grace than she'd known he had.
Fine, then. Take the ship.
Leia was taking a risk even saying this much, but she had to. Chasselin, please, don't tell anyone you saw me. Although he clearly didn't understand why she was asking, he must have known it was important. His voice was solemn as he said,
Not a word, not a soul.
With that, he walked off, never glancing back.
Sometimes people surprise you, Emmeline said. By the way, this trip that has to happen in such a hurry, are we talking about things we don't talk about?
It took Leia a second to parse that.
Yeah, we are, and I have to go.
You mean we have to go?
When Leia stared at her, Emmeline shrugged.
I did hire the ship. Plus, I already know all the stuff I can't know.
I'm definitely getting better at translating Holdo speak, Leia thought, because that made complete sense to me. Leia wanted to protest that Emmeline didn't know everything, and for her own good, shouldn't. But in truth, what Emmeline had already learned was undoubtedly more than enough to destroy her if the Empire found them out. The best way to keep the Empire from finding them out was to leave immediately, without any further arguing.
There were other advantages, too. It might be better if the ship were hired in your name, Leia admitted.
So let's go!
Emmeline pulled Leia up the gangway.
Where are we going, by the way?
Pomarth again. Emmeline smiled as easily as if they were on a pleasure cruise and called,
Brill? Slight change of destination. As in, we're headed to a completely different planet.
Leia had wished to see one of the famous storms of Pomarth. Of all her wishes, the Force picked that one to come true, and at the worst possible time. The Moa set them down in the middle of storms, both terrestrial and celestial. While the sea around their port island churned black beneath a darkening sky, the auroras flared pink and green overhead, testifying to solar storms that would disrupt many ships' sensors. Why did it have to be Pomarth? Leia asked herself as she and Emmeline disembarked from their freighter, its Ithorian crew member waving goodbye as the Moa drew its ramp up again. I could have chosen any planet in the galaxy, and I had to pick the one that's about to shut down all space traffic. Even Emmeline's daffy good spirits wilted at the sight of it.
Normally being moored here would be frightening in a good way. But right now it's frightening in a bad way, isn't it?
The worst. Leia kept imagining her father's face, which shifted in her mind from moment to moment. First she'd see him warm and loving, as he'd been when they spoke in the library. But then she'd recall his fury at their last meeting. Would that be her final memory of her father? Please, not that. Let me have one more chance to make things right with him. They say the Pomarth pilots aren't scared of anything. Let's hope that's true. Unfortunately, it turned out that Pomarthans were afraid of exactly one thing, losing their beloved ships. After the first three refusals, Leia wanted to hurl herself down and have a tantrum on the ground like a child. She took a few deep breaths, trying to channel her anger in better directions, and then heard Emmeline say,
What about those giant hairy frog guys?
Turning in the direction of Emmeline's pointing finger, she saw a squat group of creatures waddling into their low, flat ship, and gasped with a new hope. The Chalhuddins!
Who?
I'll explain later. For now, let me do the talking. Leia dashed toward the Chalhuddin vessel, a wide smile on her face. But when they noticed her approach, it was obvious these Chalhuddins had no idea who she was, because they scowled, shuffled, and averted their gazes. No doubt she didn't look that impressive, a wild-eyed teenage girl in nondescript clothing. Tuvi's admonishments rung in her memory.
A princess is known in part through the grandeur of her attire.
Points to Tuvi, Leia muttered. As she and Emmeline came up to them, the largest of the Chalhuddins pointedly turned his back.
We need no Drylander assistance,
they mumbled.
And we give none.
Emmeline piped up.
It's paying work. Well-paying work. She's a princess.
Her face fell as she took in Leia's disheveled appearance, and feebly she added,
Really?
This wasn't the way to impress the Chalhuddins, who only harumphed and turned aside. Leia stepped into the center of their group, lifted her chin, and demanded,
You'll put me in contact with Ako Quento immediately.
They stared at her. One of them scoffed, a gruff and discouraging sound. But the others exchanged uncertain glances. The mere fact that she knew their leader's name had probably startled them into paying attention.
You heard me,
Leia continued, with all the regal chill she could muster, which was a lot.
Now!
Within a few minutes, she sat within the humid Chalhuddin ship, wiping sweat from her brow, as the sepia-tinted hollow flickered to life.
You are the princess,
Ako said, which was their version of a pleasant hello.
Yes, I am.
She kept her face impassive and her tone demanding.
You owe me a favor, Ako Quento, and you will repay it today.
The large air sac beneath Akko's chin puffed up, then deflated again.
This favor is old. What do you demand?
Immediate passage to Paukris Major for myself and one companion.
Akko nodded.
Then it shall be so.
Without any further order or persuasion, the Chelhuttans began waddling off to make ready for the journey. As badly as Leia needed this, however, she knew it would be unfair not to say more.